RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Radicalism must be countered consistently and humanely. The Ministry of Education and Culture says many factors influence the extinction of languages in Indonesia. Indonesia has more than 700 regional languages. And now the news in detail. Radicalism and terrorism can occur everywhere in the world. However, the handling of the case must be overcome consistently through humanist approach. This was stated by intelligence observer Wawan Purwanto to media in the sideline of national meeting of boarding school schoolers and intellectual Muslim of missionary endeavor of defending state at Al-Hikam Student College Boarding School in Depok, West Java on Tuesday, 31st of October.
Kita tetap harus konsisten menghadapinya itu juga dengan berbagai pola, dengan deradikalisasi.
We must consistently face radicalism and terrorism by many ways, de-radicalism, re-education and re-socialism, how to make them have jobs, give training for them and their family. Not only Indonesia, but also some other countries also face terrorism. There are many countries working together to overcome the core problems which are related to political, economic and unfair problems. Such problems must be jointly addressed in order the situation is well organized.
Bagaimana membuat situasi ini bisa lebih tertata dan baik, begitu.
Moreover, Wawan Purwanto does hope the Indonesian government to boost cooperation with foreign countries in facing radicalism and terrorism that threaten Indonesian sovereignty. The extinction of some regional languages in Indonesia caused by many factors. One of the factors that has quite big influence is the desire of the local language speaker to protect their own language. It was stated by Head of Language Development and Protection Agency of Ministry of Education and Culture, Ganjar Harimansyah, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, 31st of October in Jakarta.
Nah, iya, memang kalau penutur bahasa itu sendiri tidak punya keinginan untuk menjaga bahasanya.
Yes, if the language speaker do not have desire to protect the language, it just to wait the extinction of the language. But we try to avoid the extinction. For example, by conducting conservation and revitalization of the language. There are many factors of the extinction, such as the lowering number of speakers, war or major natural disaster, and intermarriage.
Penyusutan jumlah penutur, bisa juga karena perang atau karena bencana alam yang besar, kawin campur antar suku.
Harimansyah added, there is no positive attitude or support from local language speaker on their own language becomes another factor which influences the extinction of regional language. Therefore, his office currently keep trying to avoid the occurrence of the case. Indonesia is a country which is rich of diversity of regional languages. The latest research states that there are more than 700 regional languages across Indonesia. The number will possibly continue to grow because the research is still held. This was stated by the head of Language Development and Protection Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Ganjar Harimansyah, in a special interview with The Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, 31st of October.
Sebenarnya bahasa daerah di Indonesia itu sangat banyak.
Actually, the regional languages in Indonesia are a lot. It can be more than 700. But according to the research, the language mapping, which is still being held by the Protection of Language Development until October 2017, has identified as many as 652 regional languages which are identified and validated. Certainly, there are still some regional languages which are not identified yet by us, especially in East Nusa Tenggara, Maluku, North Maluku, Papua, and West Papua.
Harimansyah added the number of regional languages in Indonesia will possibly keep growing because every year the Protection and Development of Language Agency keeps conducting the export of Indonesia. The territory of Papua and West Papua become Indonesia's territory with the greatest variety of languages. There are more than 300 languages used by communities in Papua and West Papua. This was conveyed by the head of Center for Development and Protection, the Agency of Language Development and Protection, the Ministry of Education and Culture, Hurib Danu Ismadi, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, November 1, 2017 in Jakarta.
Bahasa daerah ini kalau kita kelompokkan per pulau, ada pulau Sumatera, pulau Jawa.
If we grouping
Kalimantan,
the local
Sulawesi,
language per island, there are Sumatera, Java, Timur, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, Papua, and also in the eastern region. Such as in Papua, the mostly are in the eastern region, Timur, especially in Papua and Papua West Papua. There are almost 370 languages there, especially in Papua and West Papua. People have their own regional languages.
Papua dan Papua Barat itu memang di kampung-kampung itu mempunyai bahasa daerahnya sendiri.
Danu Ismadi further said for the western region of Indonesia, especially in Sumatra, Java, and Bali, the number of local language less than the number of regional languages in Papua and West Papua, because the regional languages in Sumatra, Java, and Bali covering very wide region rather than in Papua and West Papua. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The extinction of regional language, which is spread out in various regions in Indonesia, is a serious threat for Indonesian nation because the extinction of regional languages will be followed by the loss of values and norms that exist in society. It was stated by head of the Center for Development and Protection, the Language Development and Protection Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Hurib Danu Ismadi, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, 1st of November in Jakarta.
Bangsa Indonesia akan mengalami kerugian yang besar terhadap
Indonesian nation will have big losses on heritage values as well as norms and character of the nation itself, because the language brings some values, values of goodness which will be lost. So the character or the existing values in society will also be disappeared.
Nilai-nilai yang ada di dalam masyarakat tersebut juga tergerus hilang juga.
Danu Ismadi added to anticipate the losses, his office until now keeps doing protection effort toward the regional languages throughout Indonesia, such as through conservation and revitalization efforts. The protection of the diversity of Indonesia's regional languages from extinction is the main focus of the Ministry of Education and Culture. The ministry has carried out a lot of efforts to protect the diversity of Indonesia's regional languages across Indonesia. This was stated by the head of Language Development and Protection Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Ganjar Harimansyah, through a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Monday, 31st of October 2017.
Konservasi yaitu pendokumentasian beberapa bahasa seperti
conservation is a documentation of many languages as we arrange the language system front phonology to syntax even the dictionary and system of characters. We make it for the reference to lecture materials of Indonesian regional at school, or it could be materials of language lecture, or we also carry out revitalization activity. This means that we try to enliven it again, to reactivate the regional languages based on the uses of our community languages.
Harimansyah further said that the revitalization effort that has been conducted by the agency is realized through the uses of the regional languages by the people, such as religion, speech, the ceremonial culture, and other activities. And the last item, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, in cooperation with community, especially those who related with regional studies and the expertise of regional language, to conduct the revitalization of the local languages that has been spread throughout Indonesian region, it has been said by Head of Center for Development and Protection, the Language Development and Protection Agency, the Ministry of Education and Culture, Hurib Dani Usmadi, on a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, 1st of November 2017 in Jakarta.
Upaya dengan komunitas. Komunitas itu sanggar-sanggar bahasa.
The efforts with the community,
sastra,
such as literature, courses to manage language to manage local language, the literature creation of the regional language, including creating the story book, doing the discussion about regional language, learning outside the school, and meeting some expert of regional language. It is hoped the revitalization will run well.
Revitalisasi itu akan berjalan dengan baik.
Dani Usmadi moreover added, after successfully cooperate with community, they will cooperate with the regional government to hold the local language festival as the highest achievement or culmination point from preservation efforts of the regional languages. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Radicalism must be countered consistently and humanely. The Ministry of Education and Culture says many factors influence the extinction of languages in Indonesia. Indonesia has more than 700 regional languages. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of commentary today is The Importance of Special Info for Religion and Civilization. The Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, based on Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, and Unity in Diversity, is a country which recognizes the plurality of its citizens with different tribes, religions, races, or groups. Specifically about religion, Indonesia officially recognizes the existence of six religions, namely Islam, Protestantism, Catholicism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism. The 1945 Constitution, Article 29, explicitly states that Indonesia is a country based on the one supreme God. The state also guarantees the independence of every citizen to embrace his or her own religion and worship according to his or her religion and belief. Maintaining harmony of religious communities within the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia is absolutely necessary. All religion followers must avoid insulting, harassing, disfiguring, and demeaning any different religions. There are articles about blasphemy in the Indonesian criminal law. To maintain the harmony of religious life and mutual respect for each other, take, for example, the followers of Islam as the largest religion in Indonesia, must respect other minority religions and vice versa. On Monday, October 23, 2017, President Joko Widodo appointed Professor D. Shamsuddin as the President's Special Envoy for Dialogue and Interfaith Cooperation and Civilization. The task is aimed at pursuing dialogue and cooperation among civilizations by promoting the culture and life of Indonesian society. Another task is by promoting harmony among religious followers in accordance with Pancasila, both in the country and abroad. In regard to this, the religious harmony can be built in Indonesia. In addition, it can also help solve the world's problems that have something to do with religion, such as Rohingya Muslims, Palestine, and Afghanistan. In today's global uncertain situation, tensions and even conflicts between religions and civilizations occurred everywhere. Indonesia is often asked, even required, to be involved. This is in accordance with the message of the preamble of the 1945 Constitution, which states that Indonesia must participate in maintaining the world order and realizing lasting peace. It is believed that interreligious harmony among groups in Indonesia can be a good example that needs to be disseminated to the world. The President advised Professor Din Shamsuddin as the Special Envoy of the President for Dialogue and Interfaith Cooperation and Civilization to start implementing the text across Indonesia. Shortly after the inauguration, Professor Din Shamsuddin immediately established a dialogue with Christian leaders in the office of the Communion of Churches in Indonesia and met with Chairman of Indonesian Bishops' Conference. The role of President Special Envoy for Dialogue and Cooperation between Religions and Civilizations is certainly very strategic to pursue the harmony of all religion followers or Ummah. Hopefully, the harmony of religious people in Indonesia based on Pancasila is growing well and peacefully. The communication among religious people can be more intense so that a close relationship is well established, not only in the country but also abroad. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While we start for an event on November 2, 1949, when the Dutch-Indonesian Roundtable Conference was held in the Den Haag. The Dutch-Indonesian Roundtable Conference was held in the Den Haag, the Netherlands, from 23 August until 2 November 1949. Among representatives of the Netherlands, the Republic of Indonesia, and the Federal Consultative Assembly representing various states that the Dutch has created in the Indonesian Archipelago. Prior to this conference, there three other high-level meetings between the Netherlands and Indonesia took place: the Linggarjati Agreement, 1947, the Revilli Agreement, 1948, and the Rundvang Region Agreement, 1949. The conference ended with the Netherlands agreeing to transfer sovereignty to the United States of Indonesia. The next event was in 1963 when Godin Diemt was assassinated. Godin Diemt was the first president of South Vietnam during the period 1955 until 1963. In the wake of the French withdrawal from Indochina as a result of the 1954 Geneva Accords, Diem led the efforts to create the Republic of Vietnam. Accruing considerable U.S. support due to his staunch anti-communism, he announced victory after fraudulent 1955 plebiscite, winning with 98.2% of the vote, including 600,000 votes in Saigon, which only had 450,000 eligible voters, and began building a right-wing dictatorship in South Vietnam. A Roman Catholic, Diem's discriminatory policies towards the Republic's Montanat natives and the nation's Buddhist majority were met with a protest and non-violent resistance, culminating in the self-immolation of Buddhist monk Thich Quang Duc in 1963. Amid religious protests, Diem lost the backing of his U.S. patrons and was assassinated, along with his brother Gonding Nuk, by Nguyen Van Nung, the aide of ARVN General Duran Van Minh, on 2 November 1963 during a coup date that deposed his government. And the last event was in 1964 when King Saudi Arabia was ousted through a family coup and succeeded by his stepbrother Faisal on November 2, 1964. Saudi bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud was King of Saudi Arabia from 1953 to 1964. King Saud's family members worried about Saud's profligacy and his inability to meet Nasser's socialist challenge. Corruption and backwardness were weakening the region. Radio Cairo's anti-Saudi propaganda was finding a receptive audience. King Saud and Prince Faisal continued their power struggle until 1962, when Prince Faisal formed a cabinet in the absence of the king, who had gone abroad for medical treatment. Prince Faisal alleged with Prince Fahd and Prince Sultan. Prince Faisal's new government excluded the sons of Saud. He promised a 10-point reform that included the drafting of a best law, the abolition of slavery, and the establishment of a judicial council. King Saud rejected Prince Faisal's new arrangement and threatened to mobilize the royal guard against his brother. Prince Faisal ordered the mobilization of National Guard against King Saud. With the arbitration of the ulama and pressure from Senor royalty, King Saud yielded and agreed to abdicate on 28 March 1964. King Saud was forced into exile in Geneva, Switzerland, and then to other European cities. Prince Faisal was proclaimed king on 2 November 1964. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you through Aerial Service Post of Indonesia with the program Focused. The theme of today's focus is that ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp 2017. 150 youth from 23 countries gathered at Pesantren Darul Ulum Unibdu in Jombang, East Java, following the 2017 ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp in Indonesia. Press release from the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday stated that the ASEAN Youth Interfaith 2017 program took place on 28 until 29 October 2017 at the ASEAN Study Center in Jombang. The youth campaign was from 10 ASEAN member countries plus Japan, Pakistan, Madagascar, Lithuania, Morocco, Egypt, Hungary, United States, Tanzania, South Korea, Libya, Netherlands, and the UK. Besides staying for 3 days at Pesantren Jombang, the participants of ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp were also invited to see the diversity of religions life in Indonesia side by side in peace. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ayant Fajir, in his speech at the opening of ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp 2017 on Saturday, expressed his hope to the youth as a determinant of peace and stability of the region. He said that people in the ASEAN sociocultural community are at the heart of the ASEAN community as a whole. The youth will also have the ability to lead the people to prosperity. Fajir further said that from the created peace, the youth will also enjoy the result of their determination and all efforts. He added that only through dialogue, everybody can understand each other. With this spirit, Indonesia has initiated to promote interreligious dialogue as a hallmark of diplomacy. Therefore, on this occasion, Fajir encourages the youth to become ambassadors of peace and tolerance. The ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp was officially closed on Sunday night, 29 October 2017. The closing ceremony was held at Islamic Center Pondok Pesantren Darul Ulum Jombang, and Jombang Declaration was declared. This declaration is a result of the thoughts of 150 students who participated in the ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp which has been held since Friday. The contents of the Jomban Declaration include rejecting all forms of violence to resolve any conflict and reject religious proletarization at the local, regional, and international levels. ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp 2017 was Indonesia's proposed initiative to ASEAN through ASEAN National Meeting on Youth in Jakarta on 18 until 20 of July 2017. This activity has been acknowledged by the ministers in ASEAN listed in the joint statement of the 6th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting on Youth Plus 3 joint communique of the 50th ASEAN Foreign Minister Meeting, joint ministerial statement of the 18th ASEAN Sociocultural Community Council. According to the plan, the result of ASEAN Youth Interfaith Camp 2017 will be reported to the ASEAN leaders at the 31st ASEAN Summit in November 2017 in Manila, the Philippines. Well, listener, that was Focus Day, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Radicalism and terrorism can occur everywhere in the world. However, the handling of the case must be overcome consistently through humanist approach. The extinction of some regional languages in Indonesia, caused by many factors, one of the factors that has quite big influence is the desire of the local language speaker to protect their own language. Indonesia is a country which is rich of diversity of regional languages. The latest research states that there are more than 700 regional languages across Indonesia. The territory of Papua and West Papua become Indonesia's territory with the greatest variety of languages. There are more than 300 languages used by communities in Papua and West Papua. The extinction of regional language, which is spread out in various regions in Indonesia, is a serious threat for Indonesian nation, because the extinction of regional languages will be followed by the loss of values and norms that exist in society. The protection of the diversity of Indonesia's regional languages from extinction is the main focus on the Ministry of Education and Culture. The ministry has carried out a lot of efforts to protect the diversity of Indonesia's regional language across Indonesia. And the last item, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, in cooperation with community, especially those who related with regional studies and the expertise of regional language, to conduct the revitalization of the local languages that has been spread throughout Indonesian region. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id. Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Banyuwangi Regency, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, listener, Banyuwangi is one of regencies in East Java, bordered with Situbondo Regency to the north, Jember and Bondowoso Regency to the west, Indian Ocean to the south, and Bali Strait to the east. This geographical location makes Banyuwangi has a charming natural beauty, ranging from the southern coastal areas until the cluster of mountains that become tourism attraction. Not only rich in beautiful tourism destinations, the Regency also has a variety of delicious culinaries to be enjoyed. One of them, jangan, kasrut or sayur kasrut. Listeners, seeing at a glance, sayur kasrut, the Banyuwangi typical culinary colored scarlet. The aroma is spicy and fresh, with beef or gravel as the main ingredient. The seasoning consists of chili, cayenne pepper, tomato, spring onion, shrimp paste, salt, and sugar. But do not forget the most important is star fruit, or blimbing bulu, which makes sayur kasrut taste fresh. Listener, when eaten, the spicy and fresh of blimbing bulu is so taste. A portion of sayur kasrut consists of a plate of rice, a slice of fried tempeh, and kalagepuk. Kalagepuk is also the typical food of Banyuwangi. Kalagepuk is made of beef. For those who like spicy culinary, sayur kasrut is the right choice to be tasted when visiting Banyuwangi. The price is relatively cheap, only 30,000 rupiah per portion. The name sayur kasrut describes the sound srut of those whose spiciness when eating the Banyuwangi typical food. But another version says the term kasrut arising because people usually finishing the spicy sauce by inhalating straight from the bowl. Sayur kasrut is now rarely found in Banyuwangi. There are only a few restaurants in Banyuwangi that selling sayur kasrut, such as on Jalan Panjaitan 49 Lateng, Banyuwangi. Well, listener, that was today's segment of the Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic sayur kasrut from Banyuwangi. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with our miscellany for today. In today's edition, we would like to present Sawah Lunto International Music Festival 2017. Stay tuned. Listener, Sawah Lunto is one of cities in the province of West Sumatra. The city develops to become old tourism city that has multi-ethnic and to become one of best old cities in Indonesia. Sawah Lunto is also known as history tourism city and culture. So a lot of art and culture activities are held in the city. The Sawah Lunto International Music Festival 2017 is one of art and culture activities held in the city. Deputy Development Marketing at the Ministry of Tourism, ST Reko Astuti, said that Sawah Lunto International Music Festival 2017 is one of the events to give the creative ideas without limit in music world to artists and musicians. This festival could show various music performance from any world ethnic to develop culture dialogue among nations based on the spirit of diversity. Listeners, Sawah Lunto International Music Festival 2017 will be held on November 4th to 5th. This event presents combination of music compositions ethnic, both modern and contemporary, in Sawah Lunto.
Many guest stars of this event from Indonesia and overseas, artists such as Octivi, Ensemble Music, Lalang, Daud Debu, Sisir Tanah, Hoto Tosca, Adin Lopez, The Sugarman Blues, Jesse Lese, On and On, Disco Pantera, and Sawahlunto New Ensemble. The theme of this event is Full Moon Heritage Wonderland, where this event presents natural phenomena of full moon, which could be witnessed in Segitiga Square, Sawahlunto City, where the event will be held.
Listener, this event is about not only festival music, but also about activities in Zero Waste or campaign of free garbage. This campaign involves junior high school students as initiators in this program of this campaign and will be followed by communities and visitors. This event will have music workshop about education and transfer knowledge. This event is like workshop. The material of this workshop is from the musician, such as Daud Debu with percussion material from Turkey, Darabuka, and percussion from Flamenco, Spain. Well, listeners, that ends our today's edition of Miscellany with the theme Sawahlunto International Music Festival 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to an Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present Nika Ardila to you. Let's listen to the first song entitled Seberkas Sinar by Nika Ardila.
Thank you.
Before becoming a professional singer, Nika Ardila, who is familiarly called Nika, often followed various singing festivals in Bandung. From the festivals, she was discovered by renowned producer Daddy Dores, who saw her talent and potential as a singer. Since then, her career in the entertainment world began. Daddy Dores interested to promote Nika Ardila in the Indonesian pop music industry at that time. Nika, with a song created by Daddy Dores, was easy to reach the top of pop music industry in Indonesia with a song that brings success to her career entitled Seberkas Sinar. Daddy Dores, that reliable producer, was able to donate the songs he's composed on the debut Nika album entitled Seberkas Sinar, which sold out 500,000 copies at that time. The album, which was released in 1989 as a leading single with the same title with the album Seberkas Sinar, a song that you have just listened. Daddy Dores composed the song with slow rock genre that's suitable to combine with Nika's vocal. The listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Bintang Kehidupan by Nika Ardila. that song has popularized Nika Ardila to her peak of career. A number of albums arguably successfully in the market. Her songs have frequently reached the top of the charts in entire private radio broadcasts. Success with her singing career, Nika also expanded her career to movie screen, and she has successfully starred some of national films, which most of them tells about teenage daily life. Unfortunately, she cannot enjoy her career. At the top of her career, Nika experienced a tragic accident which took her life. Nika left a memory with her songs, which are still being enjoyed until nowadays. Well, listener, to conclude today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs, Sandiwara Cinta and Deru Debu. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.